Welcome to Cyberpunk Radio. Deny the mainstream media access to your brainstem at least briefly.
Death was so smashing baby.
He might have his finger on the finger on property here.
Warning.
Condition critical.
Can I play with the mouse?
We're calling them pods. They're like little tiny shows that might be 2 minutes to 6 minutes in length.
Across the board, the power of corporate America is unparalleled.
Pirate Radio Broadcasting and Sedition.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Cyberpunk Radio.
If anybody's going to accurately predict the future.
Bye-bye.
This guy is well equipped to do
something. It's going
to
be something far out.
I must go now.
This is fucking pretty far out.
Thanks for listening to Cyberpunk Radio, brought to you by Death Wizard Productions.
Visit Death Wizard Productions on the net, baby, at www.mental-escher.net.
Bye-bye. I must go now.
Before we get started, there are two things I want to say that are pretty important. First, the thing I want to say is to the woman who called and left a voicemail, if you are a listener, I hope this is a wrong number, actually, but if you are a listener and you need to get a hold of somebody over here, your best bet is to go and put a message in. If it's an emergency, put a message in with the Red Cross, giving them the unit of the person that you're trying to contact, because there are about 150,000 of us over here, and I don't know everybody. Unless you know who I am, and you know what unit I am in, and you know that person is in the unit, then I will not be able to get a message to them. I'm sorry, I hope it was not an emergency, and I hope you did get a hold of that person. Now that said, I would also like to say that I want to remind everybody that every show I do could be the last show. There is a rumor that I may have to go and talk to public affairs about this podcast, and I don't see any problems coming out of that. I can work with them. I am capable of working with them if they will allow me to. I have not made anything significantly different to this podcast from the content of my blog. And back in August, Public Affairs approved my blog for... Well, approved me to go on NewsHour with Jim Lehrer to discuss military blogging and talk about my blog. Now, unfortunately, the segment got bumped because Hurricane Katrina happened, and I can understand them wanting to go with a hard news thing instead of just talking to a bunch of troops who, you know, like to spout off on their blogs. Anybody who's ever been in the military knows that rumors fly faster than bullets, and often a lot thicker, even in a combat zone. So I am waiting for word to come down from my, you know, through my platoon sergeant, waiting for it to come down the chain officially before I make any significant changes. And if I do end up shut down, I just want to once again encourage all of you to continue listening to the other members of my network and to go to newmediarevolution.org and find the links there to all the other shows and keep listening to them. They're doing some great work. Great, great work. And maybe I'll be able to put in a review or two of a few of them on this show. And that said, I will just go ahead and, in case this is the last one, I want to tell you in advance a phrase that comes from a movie I just saw this morning after work that was a great inspiration to me and a wonderful parable for our times. And I'm going to sign off in advance of the show with good night and good luck.
Hey buddies, what's up? Godless Kinzer here, podcasting to you from LSA Anaconda near beautiful sunny Balad, Iraq. It's been another week, and you know what that means. It's time once again to hunker in the bunker for another episode of Watch It Burn.
Watch It Burn is dedicated to the memory of Sergeant Brian Brewster and all of our comrades who have fallen, from the militia of Captain John Parker to the soldiers of today.
Welcome back, folks. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Good night, whenever you're listening. I hope you're having a great day or you've had a great day. And I'd like to extend a special greeting to a small group of listeners that I have out there that I think are pretty cool. There's about a dozen of you. I'd like to say hello to my Aussie posse. I've noticed that there are like I said, about a dozen of you that have downloaded. I've got a map on my site, my server, that shows me where they're coming from. And just like to say thanks to you. I noticed that one of you in Perth downloaded 5 episodes within an hour. And not really sure. I can't drill it down too far to see exactly where you live, so you're kind of safe there, but I don't know if it's, I don't know, you're in the region, in the vicinity of Mason Gardens, College Park, Mel Vista Park, think about, like, between Sterling Highway and Beatrice Road, and between Victoria Avenue and Bruce Street, or more likely probably between Princess Road and Beatrice Road. So as I said in an earlier promo, I have your IP address, I can find out where you live, and if you got a problem with me, and you don't go and listen to the other podcasters on my network, I can punch you in the crotch. So, it doesn't look like this is recording past a certain spot. God damn it. Oh, nope, my bad. It's working. But anyway, that's my, what's the slang term there? For you folks in the west of Australia, they're a sand groper, something like that. But anyway, I got a banana bender fan up in Brisbane, somewhere in the St. Lucia or Dutton Park. I can't tell because the marker is right on the river there. But anyway, I'd like to welcome all of y'all, and just let you know I'm not fluent in it, but I do understand quite a bit of Strine. And I'd also like to say welcome to the one Kiwi I've seen has downloaded a bunch of my episodes, and also to the listener in Singapore. I want to say Selamat pagi. I'm not sure if, well, that's Malay, I know that, and I don't know if they speak Malay in Singapore, but I'm sure, being as you're right across a relatively short bridge from Johor Bahru there, you'll understand, unless you're maybe an expat engineer or something working in Singapore, in which case I would like to ask if you go across the bridge there to Johor Bahru, there's a large shopping mall that has a little bar up on the second or maybe the third floor that's probably about as big as a person's average living room, and it's called Bert's Keller, and I'd like to know if it's still there, and if so, if Teresa's still the barmaid with the polka dot dress. I doubt she's still working there. We'll never know. But if so, I would hope that Gordon the Scotsman still comes up there now and then and tells people his stories about sperm in his outrageous accent that just gets completely and utterly indecipherable the more drunk he gets. Always funny stories, even if you don't understand what he's saying. The way he's telling it is hilarious. So that's my welcome to my Aussies, my Kiwi, and my listener from Singapore. Welcome all, and for the Aussies, I just like to play a little musical tribute for y'all. Oh, but before I go, I have a desperate plea for my Aussie posse. I am completely out of Vegemite. I know not all of you like the stuff. I know that's a stereotype to think that you do, but I love it. I understand why you wouldn't. It's an acquired taste. Definitely a strong, strong flavor. And Tim Tams. Oh, man, I desperately need Tim Tams. But as for the Vegemite, yeah, I developed a taste for it. Last time I was here, we had a digger who was attached to us. We got one now, but his sources are unreliable for hometown goodies. And he couldn't understand why I liked Vegemite either. He saw me in the chow hall pull my small little travel bottle out of my shoulder pocket and begin spreading it on my hash browns. And he couldn't understand it or fathom it, but he has mentioned he will try to get me some Tim Tams. But that was a while back, and I don't think he's here at the moment. I think he's on leave or something. But anyway, if any of y'all would like to donate some Vegemite or Tim Tams to this poor grunt, this poor ex-grunt, I should say, hey, go ahead and email me at watchitburn@godlesskinzer.com. As I said before, watchitburn is all one word, and godlesskinzer is KINSER. .com. So get a hold of me if you would like to donate some atrociously salty yeast paste or some extremely wonderful cookies or, you know, biscuits, as you all call them. And that said, now I will leave you with my musical interlude tribute to the Aussies.
When she puts on the lipstick, it keeps backing down the tube, and I've woke up screaming, dreaming that I'd seen her in the nude. When she sits on the beach, the tide's too frightened to come in. A sperm whale tried to root her last time she went for a swim. If they made an ugly meter, she'd blow the thing to bits. Under grotesque in the dictionary, there's a photo of her tits. And if I ever cracked a fat for her, I'd amputate me dick, cause she's a super mega fugly with a busted arsehole twist. She's a super mega fugly with a busted arsehole twist. Hell's Angels wouldn't root her, said they're not that fucking sick. So she bought herself a dildo, but she couldn't keep it stiff, cause she's a super mega fugly with a busted arsehole.
People often ask me if I have any words of advice for young people. Words of advice for young people. Well, here are a few simple admonitions for young and old.
A friend of mine emailed me the other day, and she has a male relation who is 17 years old and is considering joining the Army. And she wanted me to basically give her some advice on things to ask him and things to tell him so that she knows that he is making this decision with all of the information he can get and fully understands, you know, the seriousness of the situation or the seriousness of the question. And I am not one to actively dissuade anybody from joining the Army. It's been a great thing for me for the most part. I am very, very proud of my initial years of service. And I really, though, have to say that I would prefer to be in an army full of people who knew exactly what they were getting into. Because you hear it all the time from the right when somebody, you know, gets into the Army or into the Marines or into the military and finds out that it's not what they expected. The cry, of course, is, oh, you knew what you were getting into. You knew what you were getting into. No, you don't always know what you were getting into. The recruiters, I would say that my recruiters, they were perfectly honest with me, but they only answered questions I asked directly. Okay, and that's the difference. They didn't hold anything back when I asked them a question, but they didn't volunteer information. And when you look at the enlistment contract, that's why I would say, okay, well, back to this, that's why I would say that the most important thing to do is ask questions about anything you don't understand. If you're going to join the military, look at the contract. And wherever you see something you don't understand or you don't know what it is, ask them, hey, what is this? What does it mean? If you see, anywhere you see on a form, IAW, and it's followed by a string of letters and numbers, IAW means in accordance with, and that means there are additional conditions on whatever it was that that section, you know, whatever whatever section that pertains to. So if you see IAW, AR, you know, whatever, dash, whatever, that is in accordance with Army regulation such and such. And so ask them for the pertinent section of that article, of that regulation. Hold on a second, neighbor's taking off. This is the perfect opportunity for me to put a dip in. Go, wingman, go. As I was saying, anywhere you see IAW on your enlistment contract, ask them what the regulation that is quoted or the directive that's quoted after it means. Okay, noise levels in the background should be down enough. Alright, anywhere you see IAW, like I said, ask what it means. Because you'll see, you know, like I said, IAW in accordance with AR number dash number. Now, that's how they get you with things like stop loss. Stop loss is not anywhere specifically mentioned in the enlistment contract, but it says, you know, something to the effect of a term of service, such and such time, you know, no more than such and such time, no less than such and such time, and then it says in accordance with Army regulation whatever dash whatever. when you read that regulation, that is where you see that it says, basically, or as long as the Army needs you. Okay, and it's also the same thing with the job that you choose. They guarantee you a job, but they don't guarantee you guarantee. Basically, what it is they will do whatever they can to put you in the job of your preference. But needs of the Army always takes precedence over that. Like, I had a buddy who was on a 6-year hitch in the infantry because he had signed a 6-year contract to be a Russian language linguist. Well, Soviet Union fell apart. They didn't need as many linguists as they had in training. And so they had, you know, they looked at their scores up to that point in their class, and anybody below a certain cutoff score got reclassified to a different job. And since he was a big guy, 6'6", they sent him to the infantry. And so he ends up humping a machine gun, you know, humping a 20-pound gun, in addition to, you know, his 70-pound ruck up and down the mountains of Hawaii in that kind of heat and the rain and the mosquitoes and all. But he still, even though the contract was changed, they still kept the amount of time. And standard infantry enlistment to Hawaii at the time was a 3-year enlistment. So he gets sent to Hawaii in a job, you know, infinitely harder than the job he was being trained for twice as long as everybody else in that job. Little things like that. And, like in my case, if they tell you your training is only going to be 17 weeks, so you can't bring your family with you on the Army's expense, you think, okay, no big deal. It's a couple months away from my family. Not a big deal. Except that maybe that job requires a security clearance. And maybe there's a backup on security clearances being approved. As for myself, when I first came back in the Army in 99, after 4 years out, I reclassified from infantry to a Signal Corps job, communications and electronics. And I went to school for it, 17-week school, so I was not authorized to bring my family. And, you know, as a specialist, I couldn't afford to bring them on my own dime all the way from the U.S. to Georgia, all the way from Oregon to Georgia. And so I went out there. I did my training, graduated top of my class, 96%, and I waited for 4 more months for security clearance to start the review process, because they had to renew my old clearance from my first enlistment, because I'd been out, so they had to renew it. Well, I find out 4 months as a holdover, 8 months since I left home, that they had not even started the investigation yet because they were so backed up. Now, at this point, I had been home at one point for 20 days as a recruiter assistant, hometown recruiter assistant program, which I did all right on. I got extended on it and everything, you know, and I managed to get our recruiting station a bunch of appointments. No big deal. I got along really well with the recruiters, and since I was prior service, I was a better asset for them because I could tell people not just about training, which is all the other HRAP guys, the privates, knew, because they'd only been to training. They hadn't gone to the regular Army yet. They hadn't gone to their permanent duty station. They hadn't been permanent party. And so I could tell people what it was like in the technical training, what it was like in the combat arms training, and what it was like in, you know, active duty on permanent duty station. But, you know, I've digressed on that. That's a little backstory there. But so after 8 months, 8 months after I left my family to come back in the Army, with 20 days of seeing them in between, I decided that I didn't know how much longer it was going to take. There were people that had been there for 11 months, 12 months after their school, waiting for security clearance. There were 300 and some of us in a holdover company that was just waiting for clearance. So I went ahead and I reclassified to aviation maintenance. And so I waited 7 weeks to get into school, did a 14-week course, and then I got orders to Korea. So I went home, saw my family for 27 days, and then went to Korea for a year, where, once again, you're not authorized to bring them. Well, I managed to come home on mid-tour leave, got another 28 days with them. So all told, between May of 99 and July of 2001, I saw my family 85 days or so. Actually, 95 days. And that's not typical, but it's possible. So what you need to know before you enlist is just read everything, ask questions. Your recruiters aren't going to tell you something unless you ask. Okay, and like I said, my recruiters were honest with me. Everything I asked, they answered me honestly, but they didn't volunteer any information. And one thing you'll notice is the more questions you ask a recruiter, the less willing they seem to be to deal with you, which in itself should make you suspicious. Now, I'm not dissuading anybody from joining. I'm just saying that I don't want you to join. I don't want you here with me unless you're fully informed and know exactly what you're getting into. And that's the advice I would give to anybody considering joining the military.
Oh yeah, I know this. You will go to Iraq. If you join the Army now, you will end up in Iraq. I don't think there's any regular line unit that is not scheduled on the rotation to come here. So just know that, and know also that there are no safe jobs over here. Between mortar rounds coming out of the posts and convoys getting hit between posts, there's no safe job. So just understand that before you make the decision to enlist. I'm not trying to dissuade you, I just want you to know what you're getting into.
Half a pound of tuppenny rice, half a pound of treacle, that's the way the money goes, pop goes the weasel. Half a pound of heroin, half a pound of treacle. That's the way the story goes. Out comes the evil.
All right, here's a little treat for y'all that you probably don't expect on a show like this. This is in honor of Gypsy over at the Mark Maron Show blog, markmaron.com. Take 2 quarts of apple cider, 12 ounces of orange juice, a cup of brown sugar, teaspoon of ginger, teaspoon of nutmeg, 24 ounces of pineapple juice, 2 ounces of lemon juice, a teaspoon of cinnamon, and a teaspoon of cloves. All right, mix all the juices and the sugar together in a 3.5-quart crock pot. Then go ahead and just sprinkle the spices on top. Simmer it on low heat for 5 hours and serve it hot. It's an excellent winter drink. I know that most of my listeners are in summer right now, but Aussie Posse, hey, you guys will enjoy it, I'm sure. And it's a wassail, old Christmas season drink that is not very well known in the U.S. Much to our loss, I would say. It's just wonderful, and it makes your house smell incredible while it's cooking. Just a wonderful thing, and just thought I would throw that out for y'all as a little something unexpected for a show like this. Enjoy.
I don't believe it. Don't touch me. Hey, Ray. Hey, Sugar. Tell them who we are. Well, we're big rock singers. We got golden fingers. And we're loved everywhere we go.
That sounds like us.
We sing about beauty and we sing about truth. At $10,000 a show,
right?
We take all kind of pills to give us all kind of thrills. But the thrill we never know. It's the thrill that'll get you when you get your picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone.
Wanna see my...
I just got the most recent issue of Rolling Stone magazine, the issue with the article by Bobby Kennedy Jr., where he outlines all of the evidence that the 2004 election was rigged in Ohio to the benefit of George W. Bush. And I had been aware of a lot of this evidence since a few months after the election, and I have to say, seeing it all in one place like this is very, very disturbing to me. And the implications of it are horrifying. And I would just encourage everybody to go out, get a copy of this, and read it, and decide for yourself. And I think that you'll probably come to the conclusion that I have. And I just have to say, if you're outraged by it, and as I am, I would encourage you to do something. Go out and do something. Democracy means all of us voicing our opinion, making our will known, and making it known that our government works for us, not the other way around. Unless you're in a situation like mine where, yes, I work for my government, but I also have a voice in elections that I determine who my bosses are. And in order for democracy to function properly, we all have to be active. And if you read this article and you come to the realization that democracy has been subverted, then you owe it to yourself, to your fellow Americans, and to your children and grandchildren to do something about it to ensure that it never happens again.
I'm giving dissection and mock the strut of vivisection, a semi-automatic colony, and a silencing that still walks the streets.
House Republicans voted today to approve a measure supporting the continued death of soldiers in Iraq. When asked for comment, a Republican congressman, speaking under conditions of anonymity, had this to say, quote, "I have 20 bucks riding on 3,000 casualties in this thing in the party betting pool, and I'll be damned if I'm going to lose that money," end quote. When asked for comment explaining the resolution, House Majority Leader The Boner had this to say,
"Fire truck!"
This report brought to you in part by Mark Maron.
News Roundup!
I'd like to take a moment now to debunk a few things I have heard in the media in the past, one of which, it's been a while back, but when, was it Ray McGovern, I think was his name, was taking the SecDef to task about the WMD issue, and the secretary said, you know, had asked him, well, why do you think all these guys were wearing their protective gear when they went into Iraq the first time? McGovern responded, well, because they believed what you were telling them. You were telling them there were WMDs, so they believed you. And I want to point out and make it known that that was not always the case. Not all of us did believe that. In fact, at the time, I had been watching a lot of foreign news services before we came over, and I had seen, you know, CBC and ITN, and I can't remember what the Russian one is, or the German one. I was watching BBC, and I saw the reports with Hans Blix himself saying, we don't think there's anything, we haven't found anything, and we don't expect to find anything at this point. And I saw him, you know, video of him and heard his voice in English saying the Iraqis were reluctant but were cooperating, and then not a half hour later, watching Fox News, I see them basically saying that he had said the opposite of what I had just seen him say. So the reason why we were wearing our protective gear coming in wasn't that we believed that, not all of us anyway, but that we were ordered to, okay? That's just the way it goes, you know, you're ordered to wear it, you wear it. It's a pain in the ass, sure, but you know, you do what you're told because you're a soldier. And also I would like to point out that one of the talking points on the right, that talk of withdrawal harms the morale of the soldiers over here, is complete and utter bullshit, and it doesn't even stand up to logic. I mean, come on, how are you going to tell me that the most depressing thing a soldier thousands of miles from home can hear, the thing that's going to demoralize him, is someone telling him he's going to go home? I mean, come on, get fucking real. How stupid do you think we are? How stupid do you think the American public is, I should say? Oh, and as far as Ann Coulter suggesting that John Murtha is the reason why fragging was invented, no. We soldiers invented fragging as a measure of self-defense against incompetent commanders, against racist commanders, against commanders who cared more about getting a mission accomplished and making themselves look good and getting another award than about the safety and welfare of their men. That is why fragging was invented, Anne. And I am sure that if you were in a position of command in any branch of the military, you would be a prime target of discussion for the possibility of a fragging. I know you definitely would in my shop.
I think of how they duped me and so many more good people, and I think of the price we paid. The rich keep getting richer, and the bastards already scheming about the next nation they want us to invade. Yeah, I keep on thinking about the situation. I think of Oklahoma City, and you're looking at the face of victory. You're looking at the face of victory. You're looking at the face of victory.
Here you go, folks. This is why I love the Mark Maron show.
Now, here's the other disturbing one. This is Sophie, is what's the name of the candy. And I believe these are modeled after feminine napkins. Is that possible?
I won't know until I get a taste. How are they?
Are they? Oh, these are awful.
You have cotton mouth?
This is a godless soldier in Iraq. I don't want to say his name unless he wants me to, so I'm going to put him on. How are you, sir?
Oh, yeah, Aaron. There's a slight delay. No, I'm calling you from Iraq, so...
So how do you want me to address you on the air?
You can call me Godless. That's fine.
All right, Godless.
Jim, I loved you as Eddie. I own Booty Tank.
That was an incredible role. Thank you.
That movie is a masterpiece. I don't even understand it.
New data shows a significant increase in the practice of oral and anal sex among American teens and the young. Doctors believe the increase in sexual activity may have something to do with the fact that movies cost $12 a pop, gas is $3.50 a gallon, but licking somebody's junk is free, my friends. Lick that junk. Lick it. Lick it.
I learned some lessons about expressing myself maybe in a little more sophisticated manner.
Really? When's that going to start? You sound like a reprimanded child.
It's an act of a child. Yeah, somebody being told, you better say this because your poll number's down the toilet.
If he's going to apologize, he ought to start apologizing for a lot of things. There's a bigger list than just saying, bring it on, I'll tell you that. It's not enough just to condescend and say, yeah, of course I'm against that, man. I mean, at some point you got to speak the hell up.
Bless me, mucho.
That was awesome. Is that all you know?
Yeah.
All right.
Dig it! Dig it!
The reason I played that again is because I have a special treat by permission from Mark Maron. I am going to replay an interview that he recently did. I would encourage everybody to go to markmaron.com. And join the blog there while listening to the show, which you can find the stream at ktlk.com. I've subscribed to the podcast through Air America Premium from Air America Radio because I just, you know, I like Mark Maron that much. He is he's hilarious, quite frankly, and very insightful, has great guests on there, incredible guests. And this is just one example, just one of those guests.
Now, someone who is definitely against the war is our guest, Aaron Watada, who we're going to get on the phone here in just a second. For those of you who don't know, Army First Lieutenant Aaron Watada, he joined the Army in 2003 because he believed in the war in Iraq. Okay? Now it is 2006. He has turned in his resignation in protest of that same war and is what up to now, I think, an unprecedented act in this war, and that is an officer's public dissent. And I also think it's important that you realize that Lieutenant Watada does not want to leave the military. This is not against the military. He is standing up for what he believes about this war. He could face a court-martial, dishonorable discharge, but he is standing up for the truth here. He is on the phone with us now. Welcome to the show, Lieutenant Aaron Watada.
Thank you, Mark.
You bet. Now, what made you decide on a public dissent as opposed to probably what would have been a much different situation had you just done it privately within the base?
Sure. Well, the main thing that I wanted to do was, I think when I was making my decision, to refuse the unlawful orders to take part in this war, was I was looking at the people in the past, and especially people just recently within the military who have resisted the call for this war. And it gave me a certain amount of inspiration and hope. And I wanted to do the same, for I felt there were a lot of people still within the military who had their doubts. So it was, I first contacted these support groups to just put the word out that this, I was making this stand and this is what I was going through, and you know, to give others some sort of inspiration.
Uh-huh. Now, I have just read today that the Pentagon reports about 8,000 soldiers are actually have been reported AWOL. So that means, you know, certainly in sentiment, you are not alone. I have talked to other members of the armed forces who anonymously share your feelings, but I don't think any has done it at your rank, nor with the amount of of knowledge that you're bringing to this. What is the situation now?
Well, basically, after I made that public announcement last week, I've been accused of making disloyal statements officially, and they're opening up Article 15-6 investigation on to whether formally charge me or not. Still waiting for the day when they're going to tell me to get on the plane, which should be within a few weeks. And at that point, I have told them that I simply will just not board the plane.
What are they trying to prosecute you on?
Oh, for the when I spoke out, they're trying to
a protected speech.
Right, they're trying to prosecute me for or trying to find out if they should prosecute me for making disloyal statements. I guess against the government or the president.
Can they?
It's very iffy, very arbitrary. You know, the disloyal statements is such a subjective term.
Mm-hmm.
Anything could be considered disloyal, I guess, or disrespectful.
Huh.
But certainly, I think none of the statements I made were trying to usurp the government or anything like that. So I don't think I broke the law in any way. And it is the right of every, even people within the military, to speak out their mind and their beliefs, as long as it's, you know, not in uniform and not during duty hours.
So they're probably just bullying you, I would imagine.
I think so. I mean, they've said in so many words that, you know, you don't want to add more charges to you, and certainly they want to set the example and to make other people who would think of doing the same thing think twice.
Yeah. Let's talk about that before we get into the history of your act. What's been the reaction of your comrades there, of people on the base, just on a social level?
Certainly there have been, you know, a few who have been hostile.
Mm-hmm. How does that play itself out?
I'm sorry?
How does that play itself out?
Well, nobody has come directly to my face and said this is what I think,
mm-hmm.
but I have received emails from those within the military saying what they think. But, you know, I've also received letters of support
mm-hmm.
from those within the military and also those on base. There's been a few instances, guys coming up and shaking my hand, saying that you're doing the right thing. Thank you. And then, you know, there are, I think for the most part, people are either indifferent or they may not have the same beliefs, but they support my right to speak out and say my mind.
Mm-hmm. Now, what made you decide? What is it? One thing or a series of things that this war was and is illegal?
I think it was a series of things, and not only is the war itself illegal, but those who have started the whole thing, in my mind, have not been held accountable for it. And the danger there is that if nobody speaks up against that, holds them accountable, that they believe that they can keep on doing the same thing, committing the same crimes, violating the same American laws.
I think it's an amazingly courageous thing you're doing, and I just hope that that the rest of the country sees and hears it. You know, certainly we're going to put it on my show. I guess what I want to know is I spoke to Marjorie Cohn today about that what you're doing is actually a responsibility of an officer, according to the Nuremberg principles, that apparently if you see it as an illegal war and it is justifiably illegal, it is your responsibility to speak out along those lines.
Right, Mark. That's exactly the way I see it. There was a time where I knew the truth, but yet I still thought I could do nothing as an officer, and that really tore me up on the inside because
mm-hmm.
I just saw all this pain and suffering by the soldiers and their families and the Iraqis, and I just felt so helpless that there was nothing I could do. And then I kind of realized that, well, one, not only was I totally helpless, I was still a person and I had a responsibility as a human being to act, but I could also do so within, you know, under military regulations and under the law. You're right, it is my responsibility as an officer to, you know, to speak out against misconduct and only follow lawful orders.
And the reason it's illegal are what? Can you list them for me?
Sure. The war itself is not a war based out of necessity, so it's a war of aggression, which is strictly prohibited by the UN Charter, which
mm-hmm.
we have signed on to, America has signed on to, and the Nuremberg Principles, which we also have signed on to. Article 6 of the Constitution says that any treaty that any international treaty that America signs on to, those treaties and laws become domestic federal law.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we continue to break those laws by the government's policy and the condoning of human rights abuses in Iraq and
mm-hmm.
the indiscriminate killing of civilians. Those are all violations of the Geneva Convention, 1907 Hague Convention, and the Army's own law of land warfare, Field Manual 27-10.
So now, unfortunately, if I understand correctly, the only way this is most likely going to get into a courtroom for you to make your case is in a court-martial.
Correct. But in order for me to have a fair trial, I believe there also needs to be a lot of public support. The public has to demand that there must be a fair trial and that we must, in that trial, debate whether this is actually a lawful war and that the order to participate in it is actually lawful or not.
So the way this is going to play out, most likely, is that you're going to be called to get on a plane to go to Iraq. You're going to say, I will not go because of my principles and because of my stated protest. They will put you under arrest. There will be a court-martial proceedings, and the case will be made against this war as being an illegal war and for your right to stand in protest of that and to be treated as a responsible officer as opposed to somebody who has dissented.
Right. Mark, that's my hope. I hope that that the judge overseeing this trial will be able to give me a fair shake and will not be just, you know, another enabler of the administration and try to protect them by not allowing us to debate the merits of the legality of this war. There was an officer named Lieutenant Malcolm Smith over in the UK. He also said that the war was illegal and he would not go for his third tour over to Iraq. And he was ready to debate the merits of the legality of the war, and the judge would not allow the war to be put on trial, and he was subsequently court-martialed and sentenced to 8 months in prison.
There was also another guy in England who was a member of their AOS, or I can't remember.
SAS.
SAS. He was a high-level, highly qualified soldier who had a similar protest. His protest was that he did not enlist in the British Army to do the United States, to enforce United States foreign policy. And from what I read, he was given, he was discharged, honorably discharged with, recommendations from his commanding officer. I don't know what the difference was in the case here, but, Lieutenant Aaron Watada, what can, people like myself, people who are on the radio, how can I help you?
The best way you can help me is just getting the word out to everybody that, you know, that we need to look at the issue of this war. Is it legal or is it not? And if it is illegal, then we cannot force members of the military to participate in a crime. And then, you know, the people within the military who have these doubts that the war is illegal need to know that the public supports them. So the public needs to be very vocal. It needs to be, you know, a consolidated, strong effort by everybody within this country. I think it is a responsibility of all Americans, and I think a lot of Americans have forgotten that there's a war being fought over there.
Yeah, and they certainly don't know what it's about or what's really going on, that's for sure. So you've got a hard few weeks ahead of you, Lieutenant, but I think you're doing an amazing thing, and I'll support you any way I can. I don't know if you're going to be open to doing interviews. I know the timing, it's hard for you to do one because you can only do it off the base. But if you want, I can put some of the other Air America hosts in touch with your contact, and perhaps you can get the word out on a couple of the other shows. Would you want me to do that?
Sure, that would be great. And also, if you could have your listeners visit the thankyoult.org website. There's going to be postings on what's happening day to day, and I think on the 27th of this month, there's going to be a national effort to protest by being charged and court-martialed.
Well, thanks for the service you're doing for the country, Lieutenant, and thanks for doing this interview. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
That was an interview by Mark Maron on The Mark Maron Show with Lieutenant Aaron Watada. You can hear The Mark Maron Show at KTLK.com from their streaming, and you can also go to their blog there at www.markmaron.com and find a really supportive community of other persons of progressive nature who enjoy the show, enjoy humor and politics. And I would encourage everybody to go listen to it. He's been great. As you heard on the little tribute promo thing I did at the beginning of the segment there, I have been on the air with him on the phone, and I've gotten a lot of support. Like I said, he allowed me to use this clip
of their interview. And he's also taken suggestions from me for possible guests they're trying to line up. So I would definitely encourage everybody to listen to that show.
This is Jay from the Best of the Left podcast. You've been listening to a proud member of the Progressive Podcast Network, found at newmediarevolution.org. Never underestimate the power of a small group of highly motivated people.
As y'all heard, that was Jay from Best of the Left, and I'm going to say now that I don't listen to all the podcasts on the network on a regular basis, because I simply don't have time to. There's close to 20 of us so far, and I'm encouraging everybody who listens here just to take, if you've got any free time, you know, like I said in the last episode, it's a very, very low initial investment. There are plenty of free servers out there to hold your podcasts. As for me, I use Podomatic.com, and so does Bill Alvarez at Florida Soapbox, and they have been nothing but amazing for me, just awesome. It's been a great service. They've helped me out on technical issues that I had at one point, and they even upgraded me to their premium service for free because they enjoy my show and what I'm doing. So I would encourage you to go to them first and look around. There's Podcast Pickle, Podcast Alley, or other resources for podcasters. And definitely, it's easy. If you really are dedicated to doing it, it's just simplicity in itself. And I would encourage everybody to go ahead and, you know, if you've got a thought, if you've got ideas, if you've got some righteous rage or some indignation or whatever, something you'd want to get off your chest, hell, it doesn't even have to be political, you know. And in fact, hell, if you got a story to tell, you know, if you're a creative person, you like to tell stories, like, you know, like a digger story, over at, you can find them at Podcast Pickle. It's just, you know, it's a really fun little story show. And, like, you know, like I said, I don't listen to very many podcasts on a regular basis simply because of my time constraints. But I will say the ones that I do have on my usual list of listening to, two of them aren't really podcasts at all. They're actual radio shows that I download because I don't have, you know, like I said, I don't have time to listen to them as they happen streaming, and that's the Tom Hartman Show. As anybody who listens to Tom Hartman and listens to me can tell, I get a lot of my news from him because the man's a freaking genius. And I listen to the Mark Maron Show, of course, because I like my facts with my funny. And I also listen to Best of the Left. That's one of the ones that I listen to every time I get the chance. What he does is he takes clips from Progressive Talk Radio on a topic and combines them, collates them all into one show so that you can hear various analysis and various viewpoints on the topics of the, on a specific topic from all of the progressive media. And it's a really, really great service. In fact, that's how I got into this network, was through him, because I found him and I was so happy to, because I don't have time to listen to all of the progressive media out there, and this was a nice way of getting a good feel for the analysis and, you know, what was really going on behind the news that I had, you know, seen on the corporate media. And so I'd say if you listen to only one podcast on the network, well, I don't want this in any way to sound like I am, you know, disparaging or discouraging anybody from listening to any of the others, because there is some really good stuff out there. I mean, Florida Soapbox, Bill Alvarez, I really enjoy his show. Shelley at Citizen Against Lies, great show. Sooner Thought, funny, especially Euro Satan. I have to say he's a favorite of mine. Being as I am, of course, the, you know, godless baby-eating atheist, everybody thinks I also worship Satan, but I don't worship Satan. I adore Euro Satan. I'll say it that way. And Twilight and Thebes, but be warned, it is definitely not for kids. It is definitely not for prudes, and it's, you know, adults having fun and talking about things in an adult manner. I would also recommend Blast the Right, of course. That was the first of all of the members that I actually heard. I was listening to Jack back in September before I came out here. I haven't listened to him for a little while, and I should really put him back on my podcatcher, because I've got a lot of catching up to do. But he puts out really, really well thought out information and ideas. The delivery's a little stilted at times, but, you know, that's not a big deal. It's a lot easier I find if you have a script to go off of it, I don't like the way it sounds when I do it, because I'm bad at reading scripts. It sounds like I do it. It's very stilted too. That's why I tend to kind of just write an outline format, kind of like, you know, little memory aids to what topics I want to discuss. And that's why you hear so many uhs and pauses in my show, is because I'm thinking on the fly, really. And a lot of times I just have kind of a basic, not a soundbite so much in my head as a frame, just a simple sentence that is my point, where I've boiled down my viewpoint on a specific topic or issue, and so I just write that down as the outline. And then when I'm recording it for y'all, I'm basically thinking it out as to how to explain it more fully, and not just as a one-sentence soundbite. But like I said, I would recommend you listen to Florida Soapbox, Citizen Against Lies, Twilight and Thebes, Sooner Thought, Blast the Right. Well, everybody on the network, really. Documentally. Oh, Documentally is just so well done, and I think that I am prejudiced toward it, not just because Christian has been so amazingly helpful to me as far as sending me a recorder, a portable recorder I can use here to get interviews with my fellow soldiers, but also the fact that he's got a British accent, and for us Americans, that just that automatically kind of throws some credibility to it. You know, you think, oh, well, you know, someone who speaks that well and with that accent can't be lying to me. I know it's a dumb little subconscious preconceived thing, but I think that maybe it's a holdover from our colonial days and the respect that that accent commands somewhere in our heart. But, you know, it also, I'm willing to bet that if we hear that accent barking orders at us, though, it's going to trigger something quite the opposite. But that said, it looks like I'm heading towards a full hour for this episode, and I just got to say, wow. I didn't think it would go on this long, but hey, you know, new developments and new things happening, and throwing some stuff in here and going a little bit long on some segments as I'm doing now. And that's kind of led to my first full 1 hour long podcast, and I hope that y'all have time to listen to it as one chunk. And if not, I've tried to break it up into segments that are easily digestible. But as I said, all of the other members of the podcast that I mentioned there, you definitely should check out and give them a listen. I'm sure you'll come back for more. I don't get the chance, like I said, because of time, and also because of my connection being crappy and it taking forever to download some of the longer ones. But if you want a good analysis of from various viewpoints in the progressive worldview on topics and issues of the day, definitely listen to Best of the Left. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you like what you heard, why don't you go ahead over to godlesskinzer.com, K-I-N-S-E-R, and if you'd like to support the program, I have an Amazon Honor System pay box on the right sidebar there, and you make a donation. Otherwise, go ahead and, I guess, just enjoy my site and look around. There's t-shirts to buy, and I'm going to work on a new design for the shirts for my show, because I only have the ones on my Cafe Press shop that are blog related, just the original ones I did way back when. Thinking of some new design ideas for the podcast. And as I said, go ahead and listen to the other members of the Progressive Podcast Network. You can find them at newmediarevolution.org. And I know you're going to enjoy them if you enjoy this. So, I don't know. I'm going to wait for word to come down and see how I can work with public affairs and see what I can do to allay any concerns they have and get myself some guidelines on what kind of issues they have with the show, if any, and see what I can do and try to keep getting information out to y'all and give you an idea of how we're feeling over here and just what a large percentage of the soldiers over here share a similar viewpoint to me. And I guess that's going to be it for this week. I didn't have any listener calls, so I'm not going to be able to play them, but if you'd like to call in, Yeah, the number is toll-free in the U.S. It's 1-888-82-REVOLT. And I said the email address is watchitburn, all one word, at godlesskinzer, KINSER.com. Basically, if you don't see another show come up for more than 2 weeks, safe to assume that I've been shut down. But due to the fact that my blog was previously approved by PAO and the content does not differ substantially in tone or in sentiment, only, I guess, in, well, you know, blogs, you don't really have to worry about turning down the volume, you know. So, I have a pretty good feeling that it's, you know, I'm going to be approved to keep doing this. Maybe not as, verbose, or perhaps not with the profanity that I usually throw out. But seeing as I've really given no operational security information, and I have not expressed any sentiments disloyal to the U.S., and that I have not, well, I have not defamed or denigrated anybody else in uniform, or anybody else who is subject to the Uniform Code of Military Justice, I feel pretty safe in predicting that this will be able to continue. But if not, I would urge you strongly to listen to other members of the network, like I said. And, well, that said, take care of yourselves and watch your six. Good night and good luck.
Because the people united will get it done. Protest against injustice. State terror on the streets of the world.